Today is our Advent of joy, and there's so much we can teach about when it comes to joy, but we're going to narrow it in today. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's what the angels announced to the shepherds. The lowliest of the lowliest, the angels of the Most High God came to the shepherds to announce joy to the world. The Lord has come. Good tidings of comfort and joy to the shepherds. Hallelujah. If you need an outline this morning, there is an outline of the message. If you need one, didn't receive one, would you raise your hand and the ushers will hand one to you? Our messages can also be heard at www.godsriver.com, and you can download our messages on our app. You can download the River of Life app. You can also get the messages offline. And so anyway, it's a good day to be alive. Amen? Amen. Great joy God has for us, and that's what he announced. And when he came and announced that, it was in a condition, the world was not a good place. And our world is not in a very good place right now either. But Jesus is still announcing there's great joy for us. Hallelujah. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we open up the word together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And when we hear your truth, our souls are set free. I pray today that those that are being held in prison in different areas of their heart and mind and soul, Lord, that as we minister today by your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, you set people free today. Draw each one of us closer to you and teach us today about joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is joy? You know, Webster says it's an emotion that's evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. And so, you know, that's part of the definitions. That might be true. But for people who are Christians that have experienced the joy of salvation, there is more to it than that. The outgoing or the outward rejoicing that we have as Christian comes from an inward satisfaction of knowing Jesus Christ. Our joy comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus is our joy. You see, joy is something spiritual. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So to receive joy, we have to receive it supernaturally. So we have to be open to the supernatural and the moving of the Holy Spirit, because it's the only way we'll receive the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And as you study the word, you find out we feel joy when we're connected to God and we're connected to God's people. You see, there's a reason that Jesus said not to neglect the coming together. Because when we come together, there is a sense of joy. And when we hear one another's testimonies, there's a sense of joy. And I'm so thankful this morning, lots of joy today, to have Pastor Cheryl back in the service today. Amen? When I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. We thank God for saving her life and protecting her in that car accident. I don't know if you want to share anything this morning, but I can have somebody run that microphone back to you if you just want to give us a quick word. Elder Ron will bring you that microphone. Don't you hobble up here. We are believing by his stripes, Pastor Cheryl is healed. Amen?
Hello? Yes. I am so thankful to be here this morning. Last Sunday when my husband left to come to church, it was very difficult because I'll come to church not feeling good because I know that once I get here, God is going to take care of everything.
Amen.
Not that he won't take care of everything at home, but I'm being obedient and getting out of the house and believing that God would heal me. But that night, it was, I went to get the bottom for my Christmas tree and to go to Dairy Queen to get me a Blizzard chocolate ice cream.
There you go. Confession time.
My husband said I didn't need it. But I was at the stoplight, and it was dark, and there was about 6 or 7 cars ahead of me. And for some reason, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I could see this tan car coming. And you know who I called on? Fast. Jesus.
Amen.
And I did hold the steering wheel probably a little too tight, and that's probably where most of my injuries came from, holding the steering wheel so tight that when she hit me, it jibbed me back and forth a couple of times, and then I hit the person in front of me. It was scary, but still, I knew that I was alive and the traffic was coming. And the first thing that I wanted to do was to call my family before I called 911 to let them know that I was okay. And knowing that my daughter, Kelly, was going to be obedient and call Pastor Janet. And she did. So I wanted Pastor Janet to know I'm okay. I'm sore, but I'm okay. But, you know, God has been with me every step. My husband and my family have been with me. I didn't have the need for anything. People from the church have been texting and calling and emailing. And it just want to make you just rejoice to God, you know, for him being in my life and for all of you being in my life.
Amen.
But God is a healer, and each day I am stronger. And I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Thank you.
Amen. We're so thankful to have you. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look at a definition written by Kay Warren in her book, Choose Joy. And this is what it says. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of every detail of my life. That gives me joy. It is the quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right. It may not all be all right now, but God is in control. And he's going to work it out. And ultimately, everything will be all right. Joy is the determined choice to praise God or honor God, to thank God in all things. That is a whole lot different than just feeling good. Joy is a choice. Joy is a character. Joy is commitment, and God wants you to live a joy-filled life. So we find that in the midst of troubles, trials, car accidents, situations, we can still have the joy of the Lord. Because we have a confident trust that God is in control of every detail of our life. And this definition and this book was written by a woman whose adult son suffered with depression. And they thought he was doing really well. And then he committed suicide. And so she understood how important it was to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. So when the storm comes, because it'll come, tell your neighbor, it'll come. You know, we're not so naive to think that we're going to go through life and everything's just going to be wonderful all the time. You know, I often say we are real people at River of Life. We have real problems at River of Life. Hallelujah. But we have a real God who can solve them. And so we walk in the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank God for his presence. We thank God for his joy. We thank God that we can have confidence and trust in him, that he'll never leave us, never forsake us, and he's going to see us through whatever we're going through. I shared with someone just yesterday, I said, God brought you to it, so God is going to take you through it. And we've got to remember that. And we do it with joy. No sense in having a bad attitude about it. Is that right? You know, you can solve a problem and you can work through a situation. You have a choice. Bad attitude or good attitude? Are you going to complain? Are we going to have to order more bracelets? Do you remember those purple bracelets we put on at the beginning of the year? To remind us not to complain. I know some of the folks in our church wouldn't even take one because they said it wasn't doing them any good. That's a bad attitude. Tell your neighbor that's a bad attitude. We should always be trying to be more like Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And I doubt if Jesus was a complainer. What do you think? No, I think we're in a good group here. No, I don't think he complained. He knew what was coming. But it was for the joy, he said, in the book of Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. He took all of the sin upon him, all of the disease upon him for us. He made a way to the Father for the joy that was set before him. The joy was that he knew salvation would come to the Gentiles, to the Jews, and that we would have a way to come to our Heavenly Father. We were hopeless up to them, weren't we, James? We were hopeless. There was no way to get to the Father. There was all these religious traditions that they had to go through and rituals, and their sins still weren't forgiven. No, they weren't forgiven. They were put on a scapegoat, but not washed away. The only thing that can wash away our sins and give us a fresh start and a new beginning is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power. It will never lose its power. We're going to take a look at some scriptures that go along with the Christmas story this morning. And at River of Life, we like to read scriptures together. It's a tradition. My husband, Pastor Leonard, he likes it when God's people read the word together. Amen? So if you come to a Bible study, a life group, if there's a scripture in the middle of the paragraph, everybody knows we just jump in and start reading it together. Together. God's word is powerful. And it's important that it's coming out of our very own mouths. Amen? So we're going to read these passages together, beginning in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Let's just pause there a minute. Last week we taught on the Prince of Peace, and we read from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And we talked about how the scripture prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ and said his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so the government is upon his shoulders, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor. His government is a government of peace. His kingdom shall never end. So we have a joy and a confidence that we are in an eternal kingdom whose government is eternal in the heavens. This government is going to pass away. All the nations of the world will pass away. It is prophesied that the mountain or the kingdom of God is going to come down upon every mountain, every culture, every aspect of culture is going to be ruled by the kingdom of God. We are in an eternal kingdom. We are in an eternal economy. There's no end to what God has. He's not going to run out of gas. He's not going to run out of oil. He's not going to run out of food. He's not going to run out of anything, church. He's already planned everything that we need. We'll always have enough. Tell your neighbor, we'll always have enough. When we are children of the Most High God, we have enough. We may not have everything we want. Smile at your neighbor. You tell the kids you can't have everything you want. And when you're an adult, you got to tell yourself, I can't have everything I want. No, we can't. Got to smack your own hand and say, no, you can't have that. You don't have your parent around any longer to keep after you. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have our Heavenly Father. If we'll listen to Him, amen. Sometimes we just kind of reason those thoughts away because we don't want to think about it. All right, we'll go on. But I'm excited about the kingdom of God. God is establishing His kingdom in the earth realm. And He uses us to do that. Each one of you sitting here today is an ambassador of the kingdom. Now, when the United States has an ambassador, our government makes sure that ambassador has everything they need to function. Is that right? And they give that ambassador authority. Is that right? They give that ambassador authority. We should see ourselves as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And everything that we need, God has given to us, as well as an authority to function with and to rule with in the earth. Do you believe that? Ask your neighbor, do you believe that? That's a revelation God is birthing in His church, in His people, in His called out ones. The word church actually means ecclesia, and it's a governmental term. And God calls us out of the everyday affairs to begin to proclaim God's will into the earth, regardless of how it looks. Tell your neighbor, it doesn't matter how it looks. You see, the problem is we start talking about the problem. And we start declaring what the problem is. And the problem gets bigger and bigger. And we're actually adding energy to it because your words have power. Is that right? Our words have power. And so when we begin to speak God's will into a situation, we can expect a turnaround. We might not see it immediately, but we're going to see it. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to say what God says until I see the will of God manifested in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I wish all of you would have been in on our Wednesday night classes with Planting the Heavens. And I encourage you to get the book and read the book, Planting the Heavens, written by Tim Sheets. And it is a wonderful Bible study of how to declare the will of God. Until we see it manifested. How long did Abraham wait for his miracle to manifest? 90 years. Plus, maybe? He waited for his son to come forth. Ask your neighbor, how long are you willing to wait? We like it done fast, don't we? You know, we read a promise or we get a prophetic word and we just want it to happen tomorrow. It takes a while. Bishop actually has a timeline of how long it has taken some of his prophetic words to come to pass. And Abraham was 100. Uh-huh. That's why him and Sarah laughed about it, right? She was well past childbearing. All right, we're going to go on. We've got more scripture to read. You ready? Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So as we read this passage, we know that with God, nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, "I am a servant of the Lord." A servant is directed by their master. Is that right? Their master instructs them and tells them what to do. And she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." She believed, and it happened. And she actually went to see her Aunt Mary, or Aunt Elizabeth, and we're going to read about that in the next passage. We're ready to go on. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Can you imagine? Now we have these 4D ultrasounds. Can you imagine what that would look like when Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and John leaped in her womb? That would be quite a picture, wouldn't it? Amazing. Those 4Ds are amazing. But the angel of the Lord brought a message to Mary, and Mary believed. She didn't doubt it. She asked a question, but she didn't doubt it. And because she believed, it was fulfilled to her. And that's a key for us. Believe the word of the Lord. Obey what God asks us to do. If you need prayer about obeying something, then call someone to pray with you. Sometimes we resist the devil, right? I mean, resist God. And we're supposed to resist the devil. That's what I was going to say. I hope you're resisting the devil. But sometimes we also resist God. Is that true? And we don't do what we know he's asking us to do. And so when you need help, you call a friend. right? Two is better than one, the scripture says. It's better to talk to someone. I know often people will want to work it all out themselves. Well, some things you can work out yourself, and some things you need a prayer of agreement. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Sometimes what's coming against you is from the demonic realm. And you need a prayer of agreement to break the powers of darkness over your life. And we don't want to kid ourselves, because the devil has been loose to kill, steal, and destroy the soul of man. And anything he can do to set you up to fail, he will do it. And it takes a group of people agreeing together, praying together to break the power of the enemy as it comes against us. Resist the devil and he will flee. Hallelujah. So how do I get joy? We're going to finish this up. Like I shared before, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And the Greek word actually means an inner gladness, a deep pleasure, which comes from an assurance and confidence that God does all things for his good. So whatever God's plan for us, God will bring it to pass. That's the joy that we have in our heart, regardless of how it looks. It's like what Gabe said today. How did that deal turn around? Well, that deal turned around because of God. You see, if you're supposed to have the deal, you're going to have the deal. You know, there is nothing that can stop God's plans and purposes from coming to pass, except for us. We're the ones that get in the way. Hallelujah. If we don't pray enough, if we don't obey God's word, it doesn't just happen. Hallelujah. You can't just go out and live any old way and expect God to bail you out. It's not going to happen. He'll let you sit in jail. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is spiritual nourishment. And so when we come together, we receive spiritual nourishment. I often see how God lays out a table before us, filled with all kinds of spiritual fruit to eat. And each one of us, when we come in, we bring something. You know that? It's like a carrion in the spirit, you know? We have carrions in the natural, yeah? And we bring our favorite dishes in. Well, when God gathers his family together, his children together, we're all carrying in something from the spirit that's going to help nourish one another. That's why the scripture says when we come together, we prepare a habitation for the presence of the Lord to dwell in. We're lively stones. We come together and we bring together spiritual nourishment for one another. That's why it's so important that we gather together. The families that are missing this morning, you miss them because of what they bring when they come into the midst. Is that right? Hallelujah. But it's Christmas time and people are pulled here and pulled there. So I'm just believing that that first Sunday in January, everybody will be in the house. Amen? Everybody will be seated at the table. Come on, moms and dads. Isn't it wonderful when you have all your children gathered around the table? It's a wonderful thing for a family. It's a wonderful thing for the family of God. And coming up that first Sunday in January, we have a guest pianist coming who is a jazz pianist that you're going to really enjoy. And so we are looking forward to starting off that new year with everybody gathered around our table. Hallelujah. Enjoying the presence of God and worshiping the Lord together. That's what it's all about. You want to have joy? That's how we get it. That's how we get it. All right. And Jesus also shares how we get joy. So let's look at what he says. John 15:9-12. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus found joy, or his joy came from obeying his Father and doing his Father's will. That was at the top of his list. You know, he said, I must be about my Father's business. He loves the Father, and he knows the source of true joy comes from obeying and watching God's will just unfold in the earth. Let's read on. John 17. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. For the joy of the Lord to be fulfilled in us, it comes through the Word of God. Amen. Studying God's Word, reading God's Word. I encourage you, get a reading plan that you can start at the first of the year. Get a devotional, get a Bible study that you can go through every day, get into the Word of God. You see, the enemy will cause all kinds of distractions, all kinds of things to happen to keep you out of the Word. Do I have any witnesses here that can say, yeah, I know what you're saying? You know, and you say, well, I'll do it later. No, John Maxwell says, do it now. When we're saying, I'll do it later, a lot of times we don't get to it. You know, and so setting apart that time to get in God's Word, that the joy of the Lord will be fulfilled in us. We are only sanctified, not by all the works that we do, but we are sanctified by the truth. We are sanctified by God's Word. God's love remains in us when we obey His commandments. And when we obey His commandments, we're just full of joy. Because His Word is nourishment. Tell your neighbor, it's nourishment. Tell them you've got to eat it. We've got to eat it. We've got to eat it, or we are not going to survive in 2019. There is persecution coming upon the church and upon Christians. If you haven't read the articles or heard the undercurrent right now that's going on, there is a resistance to Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, even out in the public circles here in America. A man was arrested at the Mall of America for sharing his testimony. Come on. This is a serious time that we're living in, church. It's a very serious time we're living in. And we need to be fortified, the scripture says, with the word of truth. Our spiritual man gets built up with the word of truth. It's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that causes God's love to flow through us for all people. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. God's called us to be a group of diverse people from different backgrounds, different economic standards, different educational standards, different goals. But God called us to be a demonstration here in Elkhart, Indiana, in the earth, of His will, His kingdom. His kingdom. His kingdom has ethnicity, is that right? He has all nations, tongues, and tribes worshiping around His throne. He is no respecter of persons. You know, and when we come together as a blend of different cultures, different backgrounds, we're a demonstration of what's going on in heaven. Because we have love one for another. It doesn't matter where you came from. I'm very, very excited about our last Sunday service with Pastor Mario preaching. I'm looking forward to that. So it will challenge some of you. How many of you know a little bit of Spanish? Little bit? Poquito? Just a little? We'll learn. Yeah, I'll let you know what songs we're singing. Maybe I can post them on Facebook. How many of you are on Facebook? How many of you get on our webpage? Nobody checks the website? Come on. Let's start using those things. Those are tools. Those are tools that God has given us to relay information and to be able to communicate. How many of you still check your email? You know, some folks don't check email anymore. Have mass church texting. How many still text? All right. Just trying to figure out how to get a hold of you. Hello. People don't have landlines anymore. You can't find their phone number if you didn't give it to us. Isn't that the truth? I kind of missed the landlines. They had great connections. And it was fun when you had a party line and you could listen in on other people's conversations. My mom would say, Janet, get off the phone. Can't do that anymore. Now just the government listens in, right? They got that all figured out. Oh, joy. We need the joy of the Lord. That spiritual nourishment that comes from heaven above and from being connected to God's people. Because you've got joy. You've got joy to give away. When you hug somebody, shake somebody's hand, when you give someone a smile, you give them joy. It's supernatural. You're not going to see it. You're not going to actually see it go to another person, but you'll see the results of it. Give some joy to your children. And that doesn't mean buy them everything they want for Christmas. They think that's what makes them happy. But they won't learn. Amen? It's not about what you have. It's about the people in your life. The only thing we can take to heaven with us is people. Everything else is staying behind. And so when you begin to put a value on the relationship and how much somebody means to you, and you begin to share that love and share that joy, you'll grow. You'll watch people blossom. Reach out to that person that nobody else will reach out to at work. You know, often people are angry because they're trying to push you away. That's the time when you just need to move in, push in. That's right, push in. Move in a gentle way. Kind smile, kind word. Leave them a note. A nice note. You know, people hear so many negative things, and sometimes they're just on their last, you know, their patience is thin. And it's not really you, it's just they're wore out. So we know how to pray, right? And we pray one for another. Why? Because we love one another. And why do we love one another? Because the love of God is in us. And why is the love of God in us? Because the Word of God is in us. And God is love. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh, Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. It's all about the Word. Tell your neighbor it's all about the Word. So once again, I'm going to challenge you. Be thinking ahead. The new year is almost here. Can you believe it? It's hard to believe, isn't it, church? We are almost entering into 2019. 2019. It's going to hold many, many victories. Many, many glorious things. But you know, the more glorious it is, the greater the battle. It's the greater the battle. The Apostle Paul, he found all of his joy in the midst of suffering. Study his life. He talks about it. That's what he boasts about. His relationship with Jesus Christ and the joy that he had even in the midst of all of his suffering. He said, I learned to be content. Is that right? He was hungry, but he learned to be content. You know, most of us are not very content when we're hungry. You better feed that person quick, you know. Let's all stand this morning. We're going to close with one of our favorite songs around here. And that is, How Great is Our God.